add anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Verses 1 through 8, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Lord, what a privilege it is for us to be able to pray for our nation, for our leaders, for those who are in places of authority, to pray for our families, to pray for our loved ones, to pray for those we know. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of being able to pray about any and everything. What an honor to be able to give things to you in prayer, knowing that you always know how to fix something. You always know how to bring healing and wholeness to any situation, any life, any circumstance. Father, more and more empower us to be a people. Educate our spirits to understand the need for us to permeate our lives in prayer. Teach us to do that. Help us to do that. Encourage us to do that. Empower us to do that. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'd like to remind and encourage you to please take time to go to our website at urbanfamilytalk.com. Please subscribe and also take a look at some of the blogs and the articles you'll find there. I think you'll find them encouraging for you and your family in your life of family discipleship. Also, please take time to go and download our free mobile apps for your iPhone and Android devices as well. Just go to your app store, search for Urban Family Talk, and you can take us with you wherever you might go. And finally, then, please take time to go to our website, our Facebook pages as well, Hour of Intercession and Hour of Intercession Live. Please go there and like them. We'd really appreciate that very, very much. We're privileged to have with us by way of phone Ms. Carolyn Adderholt. She's the Chief of Staff of Concerned Women for America, and she does lots and lots of other things as well. Carolyn, how are you today?
I'm great. Thank you, Pastor Parker. It's great to be with you.
Good to have you on, and it was our privilege to meet you at a pro-life event in the Birmingham area a few weeks ago, and really appreciated learning more about Concerned Women for America. I knew some about it, but learned a whole lot that day, and so it was honored to meet you as well. So as we start off, if you'll just take a few more moments to introduce yourself, tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself, and also the mission of Concerned Women for America.
Yes, great. Thank you. Again, thank you for letting me be with you today, and get to share with your listeners. I really do appreciate you taking the time to travel from Mississippi over to Birmingham, Alabama. Mm-hmm. And it was a real pleasure for me to be there because I am from Alabama. I'm from Huntsville, Alabama.
Okay.
But I do work in the Washington, D.C. office, the national headquarters for Concerned Women for America.
Mm-hmm.
Concerned Women for America is a women's public policy organization.
Okay.
And it's been in existence for about 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was started by Beverly LaHaye back in the 1970s in response to the Equal Rights Amendment movement back then. And some people, I'm sure, remember that movement that a lot of people heard about. The Equal Rights Amendment had to be passed by a three-fifths vote in all the state legislatures across the United States to become an amendment to the United States Constitution. And the name, Equal Rights Amendment, you would think is a positive thing, that would be good for women. But there were several issues in the Equal Rights Amendment package that were not good for the family. Things like providing no-fault divorce that were harmful for the family. Took away social security benefits for women. It allowed for, or it demanded that women would be drafted into the military and be forced to serve on the front line in combat with men. Now, what that means is different than if women choose to serve in the military, but this would demand that they be drafted and serve and go and fight on the front line regardless. Mm-hmm. So things like that, that just were not, you know, that we felt that a lot of women in the country felt were harmful to the family. Mm-hmm. And right. there were women that came together at that time and thought that, you know, these people, these women that were supporting it were not speaking for all women. And mm-hmm. Beverly LaHaye called a group of women to her kitchen table, and they just started praying about this. And mm-hmm. They felt led to organize a prayer meeting, a rally, prayer rally, and at their first prayer rally in California, 1,200 women showed up. And from that, 35 years later, we have over 500,000 grassroots membership, mm-hmm. almost in all the states. There's about 350 chapters. Mm-hmm. Of prayer and chapter, prayer and action chapters. We have 38 young women for America, which are our college chapter organizations across mm-hmm. the country. So it's become a organization that's committed to prayer, action, and education to preserve biblical principles. And we focus really on seven core issues: sanctity of life, the family, religious liberty, education, sexual exploitation, national sovereignty, and the support of Israel. And we try to focus every thing that we do on those issues: our prayers, our action, and education, and our federal lobbying efforts. All are focused on these issues. And, you know, it's exciting to get to meet the people across the country who, you know, participate. And it was such a pleasure to meet you and your wife last week and, well, not last week, a couple of weeks ago in Birmingham. So thank you so much for bringing attention to our organization.
Okay. Well, certainly it was our honor to be a part of the event. And I would mention, too, that you know, all the things you've touched on, the seven core values or issues that you all focus on are, of course, those are issues that should be important to every believer, every person that loves the Lord Jesus Christ, because they're foundational to the kingdom of God, really. So now, could you state again specifically the mission of Concerned Women for America?
Sure. It's really to promote biblical values and constitutional principles through prayer, education, and advocacy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We really want to promote a biblical worldview and have people be able to understand why they believe what they do and be able to express that in their everyday life, in their, you know, in their neighborhoods, at the soccer field, you know, in their community.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to help them do that through education. And that's just really what we focus on, that people are in the prayer and action chapters. We develop brochures and educational materials in all of these seven core issues, and so can help educate them on our different issues. Like, for instance, last year, I think a lot of people were, the bathroom bills were very not popular is not the right word, but it was a big issue across the United States,
right.
whether the transgender issue and people wanting to use different bathrooms, you know, boys using girls' bathrooms and that sort of thing. We were developing brochures on the issue and how to talk about it and to help people with that. And so it's things like that, based on biblical values, that we develop things like that, and we can help our state directors can help facilitate those kind of conversations and help people, you know, walk through those kind of situations.
Right. Well, you know, it sounds very much like Concerned Women for America is largely a ministry that one of its main goals is to really help the church be the church and to do the work we've been called to in the world. And would you take a moment specifically to pray for the church, that the church's eyes and understanding would open up in a much greater way to the need for us to be, you know, both obviously proclaiming the gospel, but really being salt and light in our world. Would you lift the church up in prayer in that regard?
Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, I just ask that you open our eyes and ears to how you would use us in our communities, in our neighborhoods, that you would allow us to see that we have a mission field just as moms and as neighbors, and that you have called us to be salt and light in our everyday lives. And I just pray that you will give us confidence and equip us to know your word, and just to be willing to be bold and to share the truth. And it's
Thank
not
you.
Our truth. It's not Caroline's truth
yes,
or Pastor
Lord.
Parker's truth, but it
yes,
is
Lord.
Your truth.
Yes,
and by knowing that, we can go in confidence and boldness to share that, and that our friends and our family are looking for that, and they're desiring that, and it will give them freedom and hope. And I just pray that you go before us and lead us, and know that we have brothers and sisters in Christ and in the larger church that are out there to walk hand in hand with us. Just thank you for walking alongside us and
thank you, Lord,
sending the Holy
Jesus.
Spirit to be with us here on earth.
Thank you.
And
Lord,
that
Jesus.
You do not call us to these things and leave us on our own,
thank
but
you.
You are here with us every day, and you you send fellow workers.
Thank you.
And we just thank you and praise you for that. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Carolyn. Now, you mentioned that you live in Alabama, but you also have, you and your husband also are in Washington, D.C. quite a bit. So you kind of run between offices, I guess you could say.
I do. To kind of explain that is I kind of wear a couple of different hats. As chief of staff for Concerned Women for America, I oversee the legislative department for CWA. That means I oversee the legislative department. I help prioritize our legislative agenda. That means I have the House and Senate lobbyists that work under me, and we
Carolyn, I'm going to have to jump in here right quick and pick up there on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our guest is Carolyn Aderholt. She's the Chief of Staff of Concerned Women for America. We'll be right back after this break.
So, what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23, now available in Montana. 855-PSALM-23.
This is Uncommon Moments with Super Bowl winning coach Tony Dungy and his wife Lauren on their uncommon marriage adventure. Available now in paperback.
Ladies, I can read your minds. You're saying to yourselves, my husband? Talk? Really? I think his brain is programmed to give one or two word answers. Well, you know what? I think I can relate to that. Tony would walk in after a long day at work, and I'd be there, you know, all bubbly. What happened at work today? What's going on with the Steelers? Oh, not too much. By the time I got to meet Tony's father, then I got to understand where the quietness came from. And once I realized that, then I didn't take his silence personally.
The Uncommon Marriage Adventure by Tony and Lauren Dungy. Now available in softcover from Tyndale Momentum. More info at CoachDungy.com.
Here's Dr. Michael Kruger from the American Family Studios documentary, The God Who Speaks.
Every day, people are faced with critical questions about what to believe and how to act and how to think and what things they should accept in culture and what they should reject. These are very life-centered questions and important questions that people want to know the answers to. And if they can't trust the Word of God for the answers to those things, they're going to go other places to get them. And so at stake in the battle for the Bible is the daily life of each individual believer. We want them to have confidence the Scriptures are the Word of God, that they can turn back to that every day, they can rely on it, they can trust it as a guide. And we want them to be spending time in it devotionally, in the Scriptures, absorbing it, thinking about it. And so if the church loses its way and loses its trust in the Bible, then the ramifications on the practical day-to-day life of believers is going to be enormous.
Visit thegodwhospeaks.org.
Music of Covenant Church, the song, I Will Lift Up My Eyes. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our phone guest today is Carolyn Adderholt. She's the Chief of Staff for Concerned Women for America. Carolyn, I interrupted you right there in the middle of things there. Would you pick up where you left off? You were sharing about just the work you and your husband do both between Washington, D.C. and Alabama.
Right, and what I was saying, thank you, what I was saying is my specific duty for CWA is really identifying and promoting our legislative agenda at CWA. So I identify the legislation that we as an organization try to affect every year. For instance, this year, things that we are trying to do is to confirm pro-life judges, excuse me, like Justice Neil Gorsuch. We spent a lot of time this past year working on that, setting up a strategy and getting our grassroots ladies involved in that. So that was a very successful activity for us this year. Protecting the Hyde Amendment, Hyde language on legislation, which means that we don't want federal dollars spent on abortion. So that is, Hyde language is attached to a lot of legislation, and it takes a lot of work in Washington to make sure that is always attached to legislation. It becomes very complex and complicated work. My husband, fully transparent, is a member of the United States Congress from Alabama, mm-hmm. and was elected back in 1996 and has been reelected ever since. So I didn't start working full-time outside of the home until about a year and a half ago. I started mm-hmm. working for Concerned Women for America. So I always supported him and helped him in his campaigns and his activity with congressional activities. And we also have also always been involved with activities on the Hill with the National Day of Prayer. With we've been leaders on the congressional side, hosting that in Washington, planning for that with Shirley Dobson for the past several years. Has been the director of that, and she's just passed that on. And Graham Lott. We also, the last several years, have been the chair person for the National Prayer Breakfast. About the last 5 years, I have been the women's co-chair for the women's event for the National Prayer Breakfast. And so we've been very active in those activities in Washington, trying to kind of promote and preserve our spiritual heritage in Washington, and while we're there, we try to also spend a lot of time. Our family has grown up in Washington. When we had just been married for about a year and a half, and we have two children now, but they were born into this life. And so as new members, especially young couples, have been elected to Congress, we have spent a lot of time talking with them and trying to encourage them to, raise their children, live together in Washington, and just how to raise their family in this type of environment, and encourage them in their family life. And that has been how we've spent our time on the congressional side. That's how we've kind of invested our time on that side.
Okay. Well, one aspect of the mission and the mission statement of Concern for Women for America that I guess I would especially want to encourage other believers to be mindful of and really to come alongside Concerned Women for America with is it's so important for us as believers to understand that one of our most powerful weapons in all of life and on every front is the weapon of prayer, being able to really intercede and pray for issues and concerns. And sadly, sometimes as believers, it becomes a later resort or a last resort rather than the first resort. And in reality, we're wise to lead in prayer with everything because that's one of our most powerful weapons. But would you share how that stands as a vital part of what Concerned Women for America is about?
Yeah, I was, it's interesting you brought that up. We have interns that work in the summertime for us, and different staffers, we do a program called the Worldview Class. And my Worldview Class, yesterday I was supposed to speak to our interns, and I asked one of them what was it like, what they expected. Was their internship what they expected, and what did they like? And one of them talked about how they liked the staff meeting. And in our staff meeting, we pray and we take prayer requests, and it's a very different work environment than other places. Being in a nonprofit work environment with all believers, and I said yes. I said you need to enjoy this. Working's not always like this, and our prayer time is just very special. But to pray about things ahead of time and to pray about where God's leading our efforts as an organization, to lead us what to work on, you know, what he would have us to focus on. And I think one thing is Penny, our president of CWA, was really led through prayer last year to do an effort called 100 No More, which you is what you were a part of several weeks ago, which is to identify really this movement to focus on Planned Parenthood and their history and the damage they have done specifically to the African-American and the Latino environment, focusing on abortion and the family. And I think it was through prayer that took her to that place. It wasn't some you know, marketing strategy. It was prayer that took her and the organization in that direction. And I think it's been interesting path for us.
Right. And you all are have now the event that we came to was more or less a prayer rally and just an encouragement rally, would you say?
I would, and we're having them. That was the third one. Our first one was in Washington, D.C., and then Atlanta and Birmingham, but there's more planned, Houston, and I'm not in charge of this activity, but I know that there's probably about eight more planned within the next 8 months across the United States.
Okay.
And it's really to bring attention to Planned Parenthood and the lies that they tell about how, you know, the answers and you were so eloquent and some of the others that spoke several weeks ago. It was just an amazing time.
Well, you know, one aspect of the event that was especially encouraging to me was just there were just quite a few young people that were very much involved in the whole event, and that's so encouraging to see the youth that understand an issue or are involved in standing for an issue like that. And so, really, of course, it was great to see everyone that was there, but especially the young people, the teenagers that participated in the event. And so how would you like for people to pray for Concerned Women for America as they continue these particular events? What would you like for listeners to pray for you for as you continue to do these prayer rallies?
I think as we're planning them, that we make the, I think one of the reasons it was successful in I liked what happened in Birmingham because the right local leadership was engaged. And it doesn't need to be a CWA event. It needs the local people that we get to meet need to be involved. And Zanitha Turner, who you've had on the program from Birmingham, and she involved so many local community pastors and you know, people in her church, and it was just wonderful. And just pray that we engage the people in the community and are just successful that way. That, you know, God knows who needs to come together.
And that's right.
We just pray that personalities just go away, and that
that Christ would be lifted up amongst other things too.
Christ would be lifted.
Right.
The message that he has to be revealed will be revealed.
Okay. I'm going to take time to pray now. Father, thank you, Lord, for the prayer rallies that Concern Women for America are having throughout the United States. And thank you for the ones that have taken place. And thank you for all the seeds planted through each one. And thank you for the upcoming prayer rallies as well. Father, anoint each one with a mighty, mighty, mighty anointing. And Lord, raise up leadership and raise up more people to come alongside the leadership that they have, people that who are like-minded, who are kingdom-minded and wanting to address these issues that Concern Women for America are addressing alongside the church. And Lord, use each event to make a major impact in that state, in that community, and in that state. And Father, Lord, I pray that you'd send forth more and more laborers to come alongside concerned women for America in addressing the need for God's people to pray, but also the other core issues that they are addressing as a ministry. And I thank you for those people like Caroline and the rest who are in leadership. And Lord, again, we pray that you bring many more individuals to be a part of this very important ministry and the work that they're doing. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Okay. Well, and also, can you tell me again, where did you say your next prayer rally will take place? What state did you say that one would be in?
You know, I think the next one might be in Louisiana.
Okay. Okay, then. But there'll be upcoming information where if people want to participate or go to attend them, you'll have that available. That'll be available on your website, probably, I guess.
On the website, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It'll be under 100, no more.
All righty, then. I had the privilege of meeting also one of your other co-workers, Sister Sancha, I believe her last name is Smith, from Louisiana.
Right. And I think Sancha has the next rally, yes.
Okay, then. And was really impacted by just her testimony, her story, very powerful story, but at the same time, the fact that she has a big heart for the ministry of Concerned Women for America, and the Lord is using her, and actually she's going to be our guest I believe it's next week as well, sharing more about both Concerned Women for America, but also the specific work they do there in the Louisiana community. So we're looking forward to having her as well. And so all the leadership people that you all had there, just really, I was encouraged to hear what they had to share. And as I said, I knew a little bit about Concerned Women for America before attending, but really encouraged to hear more about all the things that you all are involved in. Now, I would like to ask you this too, specifically, what work, and you may be able to start on this and have to finish on the other side of the break, though, but it mentions sexual exploitation and specifically addressing the tragedies of sex trafficking and some related issues. Can you share what Concerned Women for America is doing in helping to combat that tragic reality in our culture?
You know, I don't work on the sex trafficking that much, but we are going to start, we are looking to hire a new person to work with the international arena with the UN, mm-hmm. and they will be more engaged with the sex trafficking. But also there's sex trafficking in the United States, and when there are sex trafficking bills, we will also be engaged with doing anything to help promote those. That's something that's always on my radar as the director of legislation and watching out for legislation. Mm-hmm. Also something in sexual exploitation that kind of falls under that are these that we have struggled with for a long time, that Penny, before I came on, that was very involved with, are these rape kit issues. You know, when a woman is raped, you go into the hospital, they do a rape kit, and it goes to the state, and they need that to prosecute. There's been a problem in a lot of states where there's this huge backlog, and they aren't getting them processed, and so they're not prosecuting these people, and they're continuing to stay out on the street. And it is a huge problem. Penny worked a long time to work on legislation to get money to help get more people to process these kits in these states. And
I'm going to have to interrupt one more time, Carolyn. We're coming up on a break, and we'll pick up there. You're listening to Carolyn Adderholt, the Chief of Staff of Concerned Women for America. We'll be right back.
The Awakening on Urban Family Talk.
You know, a bunch of people who thought Obama was the Messiah. There are a lot of people who are kind of treating Trump like that.
Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Folks, I'm not looking for a Messiah. I've already got one. His name is Jesus, the Son of the Living God. We put our ultimate trust in him. all other human beings are fallible.
The Awakening, weekday mornings at 9 Central on Urban Family Talk.
I'm David. It took a drunken fight and losing a sight in one eye for me to see that alcohol is wrecking my life. And at Teen Challenge, I found the tools to leave that lifestyle behind me for good.
If you know an adult or teenager who's struggling with a chemical addiction, Teen Challenge can help. Call us today at 417-581-2181 or reach us online at teenchallengeusa.com. This is Urban Family Talk.
Satan's destiny is to wind up thrown into the lake of fire. So what earned him such a horrible fate? Dr. Tony Evans says it's the same mistake many of us make in our own way. He explains as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
God created him perfectly, no spot, no wrinkle, no flaws. Satan looked into the mirror and said, "You bad boy. If I've got all this wisdom and all of this glory and all of this beauty and all of this power and all of this grandioseness, I can make it on my own." In other words, God had made him so pretty, he didn't need God anymore. Are there any little Lucifers in the house? Are there any folks in the house? God has made you so pretty, has blessed you so much that you don't need God anymore. You can make it on your own. That's why the Bible says people who think like that are children of the devil. Deuteronomy chapter 8 says, if you've made a little money in your lifetime and you're a little bit successful and you have a nice house and nice cars, he says, be careful lest when the Lord has blessed you, you forget the Lord your God, for it is the Lord that hath given you power to make this wealth. And that's why the greatest sin listed in all of the Bible is pride. To think you are who you are and where you are because of yourself. That is the thinking of a devil.
Get the big picture of the battle going on behind the scenes of your life. Request a copy of Dr. Evans' book, Victory in Spiritual Warfare, and pray about passing these important concepts on to the people in your church or study group. We have prepackaged Bible studies, study guides, everything you need. Visit us at TonyEvans.org for details. That's TonyEvans.org. Then be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
There's a voice that cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate and longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he says, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. There's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all.
You're listening to Forever Jones, the song He Wants It All. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our phone guest today is Carolyn Aderholt. She's the Chief of Staff for Concerned Women for America. Carolyn, if you pick up, you were sharing about the work that Concerned Women for America does as it relates to sex trafficking, and part of some of the things you're doing right now in that regard.
You know, and I was also thinking, Pastor Parker, is that not only do I watch legislation on the national level in Washington, D.C., but our ladies in states all over the United States, they watch legislation in the state capitals.
Mm-hmm.
And I was realizing that they monitor bills in all their states. And I remembered that there is a our state director in Maine had submitted written testimony to the Criminal Justice and Public Safety Committee regarding sex trafficking here recently this spring. So there are sex trafficking legislation throughout the United States that our ladies are involved in as well. So not only are we doing things on the national level, you'll have our ladies doing working on pieces of legislation in their state House and Senate legislatures mm-hmm. as well.
Okay.
So you have people working at all levels, and it's exciting that they become independent and informed enough to get involved. And when you talk to Sancha, that's exciting that you'll be talking to somebody who is a leader on a state level, and you'll see how involved they are and mm-hmm. what an impact they make on the state level.
Okay, then. Okay, well, that's good. You know, I'm going to ask if we could specifically take a moment to pray about that particular issue, and that because thank God that a ministry like Concern for Women for America is addressing it. It's one of those issues that is very pervasive in our culture, and as you alluded to, sometimes people think that happens overseas and don't realize it's a huge problem right here in our own culture. It's not just big inner city. It's in rural America, sadly, and comes in so many different forms, but it's so tragic that you have people actually drawn into a form of human slavery and exploitation.
Yeah.
And so would you just pray for the church and for God's people to really aggressively address this issue as He would have us to?
Oh, wow. Thank you. Dear Father, thank you for this time to draw a focus on this issue, sexual trafficking, and it's new to us, and open our eyes to see what it is and make us aware. Allow us to not be scared to talk about it. Guide us to how you would reveal this evil amongst us.
Yes,
and help us to address it. I pray that you will bring people alongside us will help us to know how to protect our children. I pray that you will shine light on them, because where there is a prick of light, then we will find a freedom and protection.
Lord.
And just thank you, Lord, that you are our protector and our Savior. Just thank you for healing, that you can heal in no matter how awful a situation.
Thank you.
That there is healing. And thank you for this time that you bring awareness.
Thank you.
And no matter if anybody is hearing about this right now, that they can go to someone today.
Thank
reach
you.
Out to someone that they trust and thank say you. That they are either involved in it, or that they fear that there might be something that they don't think is right, and that
thank
they
you.
Will please just have the courage today to tell somebody that they don't think something's right.
Thank you, Lord.
And just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. And Father, I do thank you and I praise you for the Ministry of Concerned Women for America, and thank you for the fact that they're one of many ministries that are addressing this terrible evil in our society. Father, more and more, give them wisdom, guidance, vision, and direction in knowing how to both continue to formulate legislation both nationally and on the state level that really addresses and attacks this issue. And guide us as the church in really effectively praying for wisdom for the church itself to really do our part to really help bring this tragedy to an end as well. We thank you and we praise you for this. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. I think of this, Carolyn, too. Before we just kind of finish with this topic, we had a guest some time ago, it's been more than a year, but she shared her own story. She was now involved in the ministry of addressing the sex trafficking issue, but her story was she had been violated at the age of 3 and had gone to her own mother, who basically didn't believe her, went to her principal, who did basically nothing, went to her pastor, who prayed for her, and that's all that he did. And tragically, it wasn't until she was 18 years old that it ended in her life. And tragically, there were people that should have stepped in, but for whatever reason didn't. And we need to know it's a serious issue. It can happen on so many different levels, but it's an issue to be addressed by the church. So in the last few minutes, though, would you share what Concerned Women for America is doing as it relates to education? What type of legislation or projects or things are you doing to really help address the education?
Well, I think the biggest thing the last several years has been the concern with Common Core. And I think we are seeing some movement in that in several states, that we are finally getting some relief. We are very concerned about just general federal overreach in education, and we are always looking for legislation to promote parental choice, and so we are always looking for things that legislation that either promotes, supports parental choice, or gives relief to overreach. Mm-hmm. We always believe that the parents and local communities are the best to make decisions, mm-hmm. and don't think that the federal government should be the ones to make the decisions for everybody. So we're always looking for things to get involved in at that level. Mm-hmm. Now, so generally our state ladies are more involved in the education activities than we are for those reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So they're more active on the education issues than we tend to be in Washington. So if they need us, we will back them up on things, but they tend to be more active on the state legislative level than the federal level, because we don't really want more federal laws. We want things done on the state level in education.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know, Carolyn, would you comment on this important point too? You know, like sometimes believers make the mistake of thinking, well, I'll do what I can in my own circle, but sometimes they may think that the legislation and the legal side of things is not that important. But, you know, it's so important for us to understand that when a law is passed, if it's a good law, it can bring about great good for all of society. But when it's a wicked law, it can bring great damage and difficulty. And we should never, as believers, think it's insignificant that that's not really for us to deal with, because as believers, we need believers like yourself on the front lines who understand things from a Christian and a kingdom perspective, because, yes, laws make all the difference in the world. And when something is legal, but it's wicked and legal, it can bring great havoc on all of society. And so everyone needs to be praying for ministries like yours that help bring the right kind of legislation forward and help end the wrong kind of legislation. But would you comment further on that?
Yeah, yes, I agree with you. You know, laws, we need laws. And I believe greatly in our system. I really do. I grew up in a family that's always been involved in service and in lawmaking. And I believe we have the best system in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we need godly men and women to be engaged in making those laws. And, you know, I think we have a responsibility to, when we elect people, to find, you know, to elect people who have a biblical worldview.
Mm-hmm.
So that when laws are made, that they will impact us in a positive way.
Right.
You know, if we don't have a nation that fears the Lord, then we're doomed to destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And but if the way our system works, if a bad law exists, we as people can work to have that law removed.
That's right. That's right.
It's so, you know, it's not over. So I love, I'm from the South. I love football. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I live to fight the next game. I won't give up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have the final victory.
Right.
We win in the end.
That's right. That's right.
So I'm always hopeful. Sometimes I get a little down, but you know, I'm always encouraged. And,
that's right.
This is a great country, and we will, you know, it was miraculous how this country was founded and developed. And mm-hmm. I take great faith in that.
Amen. Amen. And I think we're wise to always be mindful, too, that everything is spiritual warfare. Everything,
it
whether
is.
We understand that or not. And so we lead in prayer about everything we do. And all seven of those values, again, the sanctity of human life, defense of family, education, religious liberty, national sovereignty, sexual exploitation, and support for Israel, they're important issues for the, as we mentioned earlier, the church needs to be very much involved in all of those, just like ministries like Concerned Women for America or any ministry that's involved in this same sort of thing. So thank you again so much, for Carolyn, for your time. Any final words before we end our time? Anything further you'd like to share about Concerned for Women for America before our time comes to an end?
Well, I just want to thank you, Pastor Parker, for the time. But I love Concerned Women for America, and I think it's a great organization. But no organization is our savior and our answer. There's mm-hmm. only one savior. And
that's right.
I just want to leave us all with that. And that's who I follow, and I know that's who you follow, and that's who will be our protector and our guider and give us wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And we do all of these other things in his will, and it brings us joy, but there's only one that is the answer.
That's right. That's right. Do you have a website for Concern for Women for America where people, if they want to get more information, can get that from you?
Yes, concernedwomen.org, and we'd love for you to come check us out.
All right. Thank you, Carolyn, for being with us. Our guest has been Carolyn Aderholt, the Chief of Staff of Concerned Women for America. Thanks for listening today. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.